there's good news and bad news. I'm hard to come by the bad news. The good news is our pastor is having a great time, and even according to Facebook, doing a little dancing. So, rest, renewal, and dancing. What could be better? And even the cloudy weather brings a blessing of coolness with it this morning. So greet each other in warmly in the new coolness.
Thank you. membership is from in the bulletin. I'll read the light print, you will read the bold. Let us worship the eternal God, source of light and love.
Let us worship Jesus Christ, the Lord and one, who dwells among us.
Let us worship the Spirit and the Holy Fire, who renews us.
Let us praise the one true God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, in all times and ages.
Hey, what do you want to sing this morning?
423.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Thank you.
Holy God, we thank you that you receive us not according to our failing goodness, but according to your overflowing grace. You receive us as we are. You show us what we can be. You have come to us in Jesus Christ to share our common lot and to reconcile us to yourself. Sweep over us with your spirit. Change us by your love, that we may sing with joy before you and live to your glory in the world. We pray also in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all say, Glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. May the Lord add his blessing to his redeemer.
On the last Sunday of the month, we always read the church covenant. Today we will be reading the first hand. It's the inside of the back cover of your Bible. Having been led by the Spirit of God to profess our faith in Jesus Christ, and having been baptized in the name of Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we renounce solemnly and joyfully for our covenant with God with each other. We pledge to serve Christ in the fellowship of this congregation. We shall endeavor to love one another, to remember one another in prayer, to share each other's joys, and to sustain each other in times of stress. We aspire
Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Oh, divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternity.
It was one more fractured nation could start to heal. And yet today, if we look around, we're going to see that there are still rifts here in the United States. We still have Americans who are fighting with each other. We have red states versus blue states. We have ideas and politics that are tearing families apart. So what do we do? Well, we must, as children of God, always fight against evil and always stand up for what is good and right. We have to remember Jesus' words on the Mount of Olives when he said, "Blessed are those who make peace. They will be called the sons of God." I don't have any answers on how we can bring our country back together again, but I do know that acts of kindness is a good way to start. Would you join me in a moment of prayer? As we say, Lord, we thank you for this country. We thank you for the opportunities that we have here. Lord, we ask your guidance for our leaders. We ask your blessing on its people. Lord, we thank you for the kindnesses that are always shown to us. And Lord, we ask that we do not fail to show kindness to others. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The lectionary New Testament gospel text for today is from John 3, verses, I'm going to read verses 1 through 21, and you can find it on page 863 of your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can one be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and that people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come into the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be seen clearly that their deeds have been done in God." Imagine our executive minister, Dr. Harry Riggs, sneaking off in the middle of the night to meet with Imam Sheikh Zakir, because he heard some things about the Muslim faith and he was feeling himself drawn to the teachings of Muhammad. If he were to be found out, there'd be a fairly big furor, and he probably wouldn't be our executive minister for too long. Or imagine Bishop Leonard Blair of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Hartford going in secret to the leader of the Church of the Latter-day Saints because he was interested in becoming a Mormon. He'd even have more to lose. Excommunication, loss of livelihood, loss of identity. He'd gain a lot of enemies who felt they'd been betrayed. So I had a little sympathy for Nicodemus sneaking off in the middle of the night. He actually, as a Pharisee and a leader, was risking a lot. And I think while we're at it, we can have a little sympathy for his literalism, too. He was trying to get Jesus. He was trying to get this charismatic person who performed miracles. So when Jesus said to Nicodemus that he must be born again, he was mystified. The word that Jesus used, as reported in the Greek, can mean either again, born again, or born from above. Nicodemus heard it as born again. And he went all literal on Jesus. You need to go back a little to me. However, we know that Jesus was not speaking literally, and it's kind of a reminder to all of us who are tempted to take things only literally, that Jesus often spoke figuratively and in metaphors. Jesus was saying to Nicodemus and to us, that we need to be born anew with water, as in the ages-old traditions of baptism, and we need to be born with the Spirit from above. We Baptists love the water part. And we may go a little light on the spirit component. And some Pentecostal traditions may go a bit heavy on the spirit part. A friend of mine who's now a minister told of being thrown out of his family's church because as a young person, he couldn't claim that he had felt the touch of the Spirit when he hadn't. So many of us Christians want to go all materialistic as well as literalistic when we appropriate scripture to our particular communities and identities. But there are harder and riskier questions, as Nicodemus comes to know. What does it mean to be reborn by waters of baptism and from above by the Spirit? How do we get what Jesus was talking about and demonstrating? Nicodemus, in his caution, did know that rebirth, any rebirth, was no easy transformation. Being born from above is indeed risky business. It means risking all that we know about ourselves and our privileges in the day-to-day world. It means all that we assume about the known order can get turned upside down, all the cultural assumptions of our time. For the early Jewish messianic sect for whom the Gospel of John was written, their transformation to become followers of Jesus Christ was just as risky. They were being kicked out of their community. They had to leave behind all that was familiar, the relationships and the rituals, everything that was the known order of their day. And I think their experience was not unlike the immigrant experience of today, having to leave one's home culture in order to become new selves in a new culture. Jesus answered Nicodemus' continuing questions with his own testimony. He could speak as the Son of Man who had already known the culture of heaven, as well as the culture of the world, and who knew what his own future would bring. He was indeed the one who had been born from above, and he would be the one who was soon lifted up on the cross, just as Moses had lifted up the serpent, as a sign of salvation, God's salvation. So Jesus pointed the way. The way of rebirth is the way of the cross, death to a previous life, a previous way of life, and transformation into a new way of life in God's kingdom. Then the narrator of John, there aren't actually, in the text, there aren't exactly quotation marks anywhere, so it's believed that the God so loved the world passage is the voice of the narrator. The narrator of John went on to explain in a kind of mini-sermon that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son to save it. That God saw the world as already condemned and in darkness, so he sent his son as a source of salvation, light, and hope. So people stay condemned unless they believe, which is also translatable as beloved, Jesus. That is, they stay condemned unless they can really get what Jesus is about with their hearts as well as their heads, and that their deeds begin to reflect that beloving and believing. Those, as it says at the end of the scripture, verse 21, those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. We don't hear about Nicodemus again until after the crucifixion, when he actually had seen Jesus lifted up on the cross. And so we have no idea of where he was in those days in between sneaking up to question Jesus in the dark and when he showed up with the spices to prepare Jesus' body for the tomb. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, another secret, fearful disciple, came this time in daytime to ask Pilate for Jesus' body. They compassionately prepared his body for burial, wrapping it with spices and linen cloths. Nicodemus, even before the resurrection, began to beloved Jesus and to do what was true and compassionate in the light of day. As a Jew, Nicodemus likely had already been baptized once with water, as had Jesus. And sometime between his first conversation and Jesus' death, when he began to commit to Jesus, we presume that he was also touched by the Spirit, such that he was willing to go public with his deeds at great risk to himself. Nicodemus obviously was not convinced immediately like Peter and Andrew, James and John had been in the Gospel of Mark, but he came to believe in and to love Jesus more gradually. And truth be told, he had a lot more to lose. A good, comfortable life of prestige and privilege, a life he had to die to in order to be born again from above. So I'm pretty fond of Nicodemus. He's both bumbling and brave. Perhaps a more realistic example of discipleship for me. So what does it mean for me, and maybe for you, to be born again from above? How does it affect who we are? How we understand our place in the world? Can we get what Jesus means and is about? Can we get what it means to say, I believe and I will love him with head, heart, and deeds? Unfortunately, spiritual rebirth in the midst of this world doesn't seem to be a one-time thing. We don't get saved just by speaking and claiming belief in Jesus, if only it were that easy. Nor does being born again mean just an easy pass into heaven. Nicodemus's example and the risks he faced are challenging. They require me to question my life in this culture and my life of privilege and all its associated assumptions and biases. They mean questioning the social and institutional structures that support the status quo, especially the status quo that benefits me. It does question putting my country first before God, before Jesus' example, before the rest of the world's people. It says in Scripture, God so loved the world. It's tough on Memorial Day weekend, and especially to remember that for Christians, Jesus' example comes before love of country. Who do I worship? What and who do I honor? Born of the Spirit, I can honor individuals surely, all those who have served this country and other countries in so many ways, but not nationalistic systems or war. It is a time to think of peace. What do my deeds or our deeds do to reflect? Are they deeds of light? Am I compassionate as Jesus was compassionate? Do I really see others, outsiders, the poor, the imprisoned, the immigrant? Do I get them? Am I willing to act to put them first, to provide for the least of these in whom Jesus resides? And what are my responsibilities? What are deeds of light and love when I come to understand the darkness of exploitation? Do I continue to buy what's inexpensive, even though it has been made by poor women and children in deplorable working conditions, paid pittances? Do I continue to buy from Walmart and Amazon when I learn that workers are underpaid while their owners make millions in untaxed profits? When I participate in and benefit from the exploitation of others, I am participating in acts of darkness. Deeds of light require sacrifice. So how do I use God's many gifts to me? How do I use my privilege? How do I use my money, my vote, my prayers to become transformed into a new life, encouraged by the Spirit, with heart focused on Jesus and his example? This being born of the Spirit is a difficult transformation, as it was for Nicodemus, as it was for us, coming from relative privilege, and that's all of us here. The transformation may be gradual. I hope I'm coming, and that you too are coming, to really believing and to loving Jesus. I hope that I and you are brave enough to engage the hard questions of transformation. I hope we are able to participate in deeds of light done in God's way of love. It's risky, uncomfortable, scary, but I hope for me and for you that we can keep at choosing life and love one day at a time. Nicodemus, disciple of Jesus, lead on. Amen. Our prayer hymn today is number 300, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. 300, yes. Breathe on Me, Breath of God. And if you have a prayer request, would you write it down on the cards and the pew racks and send it to the aisles? outside aisles where it will be picked up. Thank you. Also, we want to offer congratulations to the McKays. Their son, grandson, Jonathan, won a National Scholar Athlete Award. So Bev is Bevin and Ford. And Bill is working away here. Congratulations. Praying for Daniel Buttry, author and missionary known to some in the congregation. He has prostate and bone cancer. For Sean and Taylor, who were married this weekend. And for those who served and are serving in our military. Please pray for Jerry Feeney, Linda's aunt. For the health of Nancy, this is Nancy's mother and her husband and her own future. Prayers of comfort for my sister-in-law, Angie, on the loss of her son, Daniel Adams. And safe travels for our Sharons who are traveling, Pastor Sharon and Sharon Kupiak and others. And for Ricky B, who has tongue cancer and is having surgery on June 7th. And for Matt J, a 22-year-old who's had 5 seizures in the past 10 days. So, okay. We have many to pray for, some with gratitude and lightness of heart, and some with great heaviness of heart. So let us pray. God of the light, touch us with your spirit so that we can come to know Jesus in our hearts and be transformed, born again and from above by his example, your son given for us with your great love. We acknowledge that we struggle to be changed, made new in your spirit, to become what you call us to be. We have not stood by our faith always or shared our hope or reached out with love. We have done unkind deeds and left undone deeds which could have made a difference in the lives of those around us. We have failed to speak and act for peace and justice in our world. Have mercy on us. Forgive us. Help us to change, to do deeds of light that reflect your love. And we are so grateful for your love. So grateful for Jesus Christ in our lives. So grateful for those around us who demonstrate by their generosity and compassion your presence and the intimations of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Help us day by day to become more like them and remind us to share our gratitude for them. We also ask for your help, the touch of your spirit, for your guidance and your healing. Today, we especially lift up the Shinigo family and for all those that we mentioned who are in need of your healing and your care. Be with them in their sorrow, strengthen them and comfort them, bring them healing, bring them peace. Holy God, we seek to worship you above and before all others. On this Sunday that commemorates the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we bring our love and our praise to all the ways that you relate to us. And on this Sunday of Memorial Day weekend, we remember with gratitude those who have gone before and those who have given their lives in service, military and more. We honor soldiers, sailors, Marines, those in the Air Force, all those who have died in the midst of war, and we honor also those who have served today. We also honor nurses and doctors who served on the war field, but who also risked their lives along with teachers, social workers, ministers, and missionaries, countless others who lived lives of service, who made risks and sacrifice for the common good. They are among your saints, held in your love eternally. We give you thanks for their lives and remember with compassion those they left behind. We thank you, gracious God, that you answer all who call upon your name from every nation. May we be bold to ask for your help and to persist beyond all discouragement. May our faith in you transform our troubled lives into testimonies for your love and power. Through the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn today is Praise Ye the Triune God. It's number 106. Would you please stand and we will sing that hymn.